This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Now a hair growth product with natural ingredients and fast results. Reveal from GCNLife.com.
News today, Julian Assange picked up. How about that? Arrested. We have details on that. And then from the White House wanted to release immigrants into sanctuary cities. Supposedly that's how the story goes. The president told to ignore immigration legal setbacks. There's still that debate over the wall. And once again, here we are talking about it. I'm broadcasting from Austin, Texas, in a sleepy little hamlet, I'm going to call it, in the middle of the woods. And it is just absolutely spectacular to be here, and I can tell you that the buzz today in this backyard and in many backyards has been the story of Julian who? Assange. So if you don't know, he's notorious for leaks of U.S. secrets. He's facing a computer hack charge, and let me give you the details. It's interesting. 6 years later, if you look at the information that's been dumped out, he's just a treasure trove, a stunning trove of sensitive diplomatic cables and entire Pentagon databases a decade ago made him pretty famous, and his anti-secrecy group WikiLeaks, a household name and an enemy of the American government. There's no question about that. So where was the line for Julian Assange? And finally, his luck has run out, because it looks like Assange is not only facing this U.S. hacking conspiracy charge, but the grand jury indictment against the WikiLeaks founder anyway is pretty big. So shortly after he was arrested at the Ecuadorian embassy in London on Thursday, the U.S. Department of Justice revealed this grand jury indictment against him. The indictment charges Assange with conspiracy to hack government computers. I mentioned the Pentagon stuff and all the sensitive information that he released. The indictment alleges that Assange conspired with Chelsea Manning, a former Army intelligence analyst, to assist with cracking a password to the Defense Department computers that housed government secrets, and he's charged with conspiracy to commit intrusion. That carries a maximum penalty of 5 years in prison if he was convicted. And again, remember, he became very famous for all of the information that he leaked out, and the fact that he has been arrested and charged with a hacking conspiracy is really big. He was arrested. He flashed a peace sign, as I said, at the Ecuadorian embassy, and had the beard going on, and looked like just haggard and kind of shocked, I think. The look in his eyes to me looked that way anyway. So big news that the guy who dumped out a lot of sensitive information is finally picked up by the U.S. government, because trust me, they've had him in their sights for a long time. And that becomes the question, fair or foul with Julian Assange. Certainly there are plenty of people that would hail him as a hero for releasing the information, and others that think he is completely ripped up way too many lives and dumped sensitive information that he had no business dumping out there out for the rest of the world to, you know, peruse. But either way, opinions are definitely high and hot over Julian Assange. So 7 years in an embassy. He was caught in the web, for sure. The web that he created. That's absolutely 100% accurate. Meanwhile, the president told the Department of Homeland Security to release detained immigrants into sanctuary cities. So this move is intended to retaliate against the Democrats who oppose the you know, border wall, because the wall is going nowhere. The funding for it is not there. They're at a definite sticking point, and so this would be a jab back. There's no question about that, and that's very, very big news if you know anything about the sanctuary cities and the opposition to the sanctuary cities. And again, many areas, the fact that the president is doing that is very, very big news. And that was part of the buzz where I am in Austin, Texas. And like I say, this show is about what are people talking about, what affects you, what affects me. So the pressure on the Department of Homeland Security to release them, you know, at the southern border into these cities is what the president plans to do for now, because the border wall is a no-go. I mean, it's a non-starter as far as the funding's concerned. So White House senior advisor Stephen Miller urged senior DHS officials pretty much make a plan, make it a reality. The plan, you know, is out there, but it finally died after Miller and other White House officials pushed it in February, and they were pretty upset about that. So the willingness of the president to enact hardline immigration policies is definitely there to deliver on border security. That was a key issue when he was running for president. So Thursday, those reports flew out that he's amplifying the message on illegal immigration, and he's been doing that the last couple of weeks, and threatening, remember, even at one point a couple of weeks ago, to close the southern border if Congress and Mexico don't take action, and it hasn't happened. It hasn't happened. So a spokeswoman for House Speaker Nancy Pelosi ripped the president over the Thursday night reports, saying that the extent of this administration's cynicism and cruelty can't be overstated. That was the statement that was released, using human beings, including little kids, as pawns in their warped game. Wow. To perpetuate fear and demonizing immigrants is despicable and in some cases criminal. The American people have resoundingly rejected the administration's toxic anti-immigrant policies, and the Democrats will continue to advance, this is the statement, so bear with me, to advance immigration policies that keep us safe and honor our values. So there is still the wall that is up between any of the Democrats, I'd have to say, and the president. That's one wall that's not going down anytime soon. So while Julian Assange is out of his prison, that's not the case, obviously, in other areas when it comes to this back and forth between immigration. That's far from over. Again, it's very, very walled off, as I kind of try to put this into words, because we've been talking about it so much, frankly, and the whole time I've been on the air, I've said this before, immigration, 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 it's always what we end up back on, that nothing happens, there's the argument over what should be done, what can't be done, and we still live in this really polarized vacuum where you are playing on two different teams and they never seem to meet in the middle. It just doesn't happen. And it's I think it's here to stay for a while. I don't think that we're going to see any kind of a changing of the guard, if you will, anytime soon. All right, coming up on the show, we're going to dive into the mailbag, and in the mailbag, some of you asking me about Game of Thrones and what it was like to go to Ireland, and we're going to have some slices of Ireland in case you missed it. That's all coming up this hour of the show. Kate Delaney, hang with me. I'll meet you on the flip side.
Stocks and options trading involves financial risk and is not suitable for all investors.
Hey guys, it's Scott Bauer here, CEO of Prosper Trading Academy. Are you looking for a super hot stock tip? Here at Prosper, we are always looking for exciting opportunities in the markets. And right now, all my students are salivating over this stock we are watching. In fact, I've got this hot stock written down right here, and I'm about to text it to you for free. I just need to know where to send it. Simply text HOT to 48542, and I'll text it to you instantly. How do I know this stock is so hot? Well, I'm a former CBOE market maker for Amazon Options, former vice president of Goldman Sachs, and I have over 25 years of professional trading experience. I'm telling you, this stock is hot. But be warned, the stock may move soon, so you need to claim it before it does. Text HOT to 48542, and I'll text you this hot stock instantly. Text HOT to 48542, and I'll text you this hot stock instantly. Message and data rates may apply.
Hunters, anglers, campers, and survivalists, get back to nature. Expand your horizons with the highest quality, most versatile, unique slingshots and sling bows on the market at slingbow.com. Slingbow products are compact and models start from just $17.98. They're perfect for your bug out bag or storing in your vehicle. Give yourself and your loved ones the excitement and tradition of slingbow, a new frontier in archery and truly modern twist on this primitive survival tool. Feel the thrill only at slingbow.com.
The final phase of extermination is set to commence now. And as population die-off becomes evident, you know it is the time of punishment in all that is written. The cover for mass die-off is evolution and global warming frauds, also used as false proof of their Christ. They are from the lines that were disinherited 2,000 years ago. Now they claim to be his Christ based upon blood type, DNA, and long lifespan. Go to unveilingthem.com. That's UNVEILINGthem.com.
It's time to join the Tahibo Tea Club. Tahibo tea comes from the inner bark of the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. The Tahibo tree never gets sick, never gets infected, and never gets infested. As a result, it contains antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. Tahibo tea can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening condition due to infection, diabetes, or cancer. Tahibo tea is available for only $34.95 per pound plus shipping. 1 pound makes 300 servings, which is only 12 cents per cup. Dial 818-883-7222 or buy online at drinksupertea.com. All orders ship immediately the same day. Call now 818-883-7222. That number again, 818-883-7222 or buy online at drinksupertea.com.
Let's dig in the mailbag.
And as promised, we dive into the mailbag. And in the mailbag, I got this one from Edwin, who says, Kate, listening to you talk about Ireland, I'm so serious about this. I want to find out what it would ultimately cost me to go there and spend some time in some of the areas that where you were. But either way, I'm going to put it on my bucket list, and I hope to do it within the year. I got so excited listening to your stories. It made me really, really want to go to Ireland. So my question to you is, I am a huge Game of Thrones fans, and that was one of the intriguing interviews that you did on your trip, and I'm wondering if you got any inside information you're just not sharing with us on what's going to happen at the end of the Game of Thrones. Okay, you got to be kidding me. Any inside information? It was so tight as a drum. Nobody's releasing anything. And anybody who's making their living off of Game of Thrones is not going to jeopardize that. So, yeah, what's coming? Winter is here, and winter is here on Sunday, and there's lots of people arguing about what's going to happen in this final season, you know, who's going to survive, who's going to die, what are the theories. In fact, for this last season, they've actually ranked the most likely, you know, theories as to what will happen in the Game of Thrones. It could be a kind of a spoiler alert for some people. If you're really into it and you're watching it, you probably don't want to know. I mean, you probably don't want to know what some of the theories are that are floating around out there. But I'm going to say that Littlefinger is probably still alive. excuse me, Littlefinger is still alive. And the reason I say that is because that character was so vicious. And I think there's a chance that this might be, there could be proof that Littlefinger paid one of the assassins to take his place at Winterfell after realizing that Sansa was turning on him. And the scene, there's a scene that shows that he's spying on, that he's being spied on as he gives a coin to an unknown young woman who appears to whisper to him, "Your time's up." And it could be one of these, I don't know, I don't want to say reincarnation things, but it could be that there's something peculiar that happens there. I see, I don't want to give everything away. And I don't have any inside information. I'm just giving you a little sense of what I think could happen. And I know that there's others of you that are listening and are like, what is she talking about? Who is Littlefinger? Who cares? What is Game of Thrones? You're either in to the Game of Thrones or you have no idea what the Game of Thrones is all about, right? Yeah, that's exactly right. All right, how about this next one? This comes to us from Josh, who listens to us actually in San Antonio, not too far away from where I am. Hey, Kate, how about these charges around Michael Avenatti? I know everybody's talking about Julian Assange, but I think this is pretty big. He's such a braggy, boastfully kind of guy. Turns out he has a wicked underbelly, perhaps. Yes, yeah, so thanks for bringing that up. They did announce on Thursday in California there were 36 charges against Michael Avenatti, the attorney best known for criticizing Trump and accusing, you know, he's been accused of a bunch of things, including that stealing millions of dollars from his clients and funneling their money into his own interests, including co-ownership of a $5 million jet. So that doesn't bode well for his attacks on not just the president, but other people that he went after pretty hard. If you remember, Stormy Daniels is who he represented, and that's what really kind of elevated him to fame. So the indictment says he defrauded clients for more than 4 years, and it's pretty bleak stuff and serious details that say he, there was even a claim that he, Avenatti, allegedly, if something he did, caused a paraplegic client to lose his supplemental security income benefits, which were paid to adults and children, of course, with disabilities, and prevented the same client from using settlement money to buy a house. Wow. Avenatti is denying all of that through the miracle of Twitter. So go figure, right? Go figure what happens there. We move from one bad situation to another one, this one from Richard. Kate, did you see the Washington Post story about Barr, the attorney general, and the way that he handled the Mueller situation? He was being defended by the deputy attorney general. I did see them. And the deputy attorney general is Gerald Rosenstein. And he said it was bizarre for anyone to claim that William Barr, as the AG, is trying to mislead people by not immediately releasing the special counsel's report. He did an interview with the Wall Street Journal, and it's the first one since Mueller concluded his investigation into the Russian interference into the 2016 election. Rosenstein tried to really throw out those criticisms of what Barr's doing, and he said he's being as forthcoming as he can. And so any notion and gossip and nonsense, basically whatever, that he's trying to mislead people, I think is completely bizarre. And it was Rosenstein who appointed Mueller in the first place to lead the investigation after President Trump's firing of the FBI Director James Comey, helped Barr review the final report, which didn't find that anyone on Trump's campaign conspired with Russians. So, you know, there you have it, right? But he's been criticized for the 4-page letter he sent to the people on the Hill, the lawmakers, last month, the lawmakers, after outlining what he said were Mueller's principal conclusions. You know, again, this is like our nightmare that's never going away. We're constantly going to be paying for this, and we're constantly have these same arguments and finger pointing over who said what, and you said this, and that shouldn't happen, and that's what we're going to see. All right, this one, I love that I'm jumping around here because I'm excited. When I checked the mailbag today, and I'm speaking in, by the way, in Austin, Texas, at a the Cookware Manufacturer Association's conference. Great people from all over the country, and what a pleasure to do a keynote for them and spend some time in Austin. I got this one from Edward, who says, Jesse Smollett, you've been talking about him on your show in the past. He supposedly was trying to mislead cops by falsely describing alleged assailants who he said attacked him on a cold January night. The city of Chicago claimed in a lawsuit that he definitely misled the police with that, by falsely describing those assailants. Are you surprised by that, Kate? No. He's, you know, Smollett's 36, he's black, he's gay, he allegedly hired two brothers, Abel and Allah, to stage an assault on him and make it look like a hate crime. That's what police and prosecutors are saying. The actor told investigators his attackers yelled homophobic and racist, that's why that's important, homophobic and racist slurs at him, and also screamed, "This is MAGA country," a reference to President Donald Trump's 2016 campaign slogan, "Make America Great Again." He also told officers that his primary attackers, was wearing a ski mask that covered his whole face with the exception of the area around his eyes. He said he could tell that the attacker was white skin. So, you know, bottom line is, I'm not surprised. Of course they're going to file a lawsuit. They want more than $10,000 back from this guy for the money that they spent on all of the investigating of this. And they were ripped off, basically, in my opinion. What the lawsuit looks like and how that comes out, I mean, we'll see. Because you know how these things drag for a very long time. But I think they were smart to do it, honestly. I think they were smart to go after him. I mean, it's crazy that what happens in that city, and then if in fact this is all false, how sad for Jesse Smollett, but how sad for the city too, for the money they've bounced on this in investigating, and then to take it on the chin and be the victim of name calling in the end. Yeah, that's just not right. I don't care what your political bent is or what you think of the city of Chicago. I mean, to have that happen anywhere in America, and guarantee you'd have some pretty upset people, because that shouldn't, I mean, that is that to get more money? That's what the original thought was. Is it a ploy? Is there something we don't know? You know, is there a chance of his innocence? You know, you tell me. And you can do that by sending me an email to katedelaneyradio.com. We're taking you back to Ireland in case you miss any of the Emerald Isle that's coming up. On the flip side, once again, I love flips.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, the inventor of My Pillow, and like all of you out there, I have problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat, I would flip-flop all night long, I would wake up with a sore neck, maybe a headache, or feel like I needed a nap even though I slept 8 hours. When I invented My Pillow, I wanted it to where you can move the patented fill to give you the exact support you need as an individual, regardless of sleep position. My Pillow will get you into that deep REM sleep faster, and you will stay there longer. It's not about how much time we spend in bed, it's about how much of that quality sleep we get. I do all of my own manufacturing right here in the United States. I have a 10-year warranty. You can wash and dry my pillow, and I give you a 60-day money-back guarantee, so you have nothing to lose. And here's my best offer ever. You can buy one of my pillows and get one absolutely free.
Go to MyPillow.com or call 800-870-0305 and use promo code GCN. That's MyPillow.com or 800-870-0305 with promo code GCN.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNlive.com today.
USA Radio News with Wendy King. the death toll continues to rise after a line of severe storms moved through the south. Sheriff of Moreau County, Mississippi, Cecil Cantrell, speaks of some of the tragic situations. A tornado killed an elderly man and devastated the community.
These people that are, you know, someone thought we're going to be homeless, probably it looks like. We're going to have some misplaced people, so, you know, that's number one, trying to take care of the people that have been misplaced at this point, making sure that they have a place to stay and water and all the necessities at this point. That's what we're really looking to help these people.
Dozens of people have been injured by the storms, some of them in the hospital with serious conditions. In Franklin, Texas, 55 homes were destroyed by a twister. The storms are still heading east, with millions of people bracing for the impact. This is USA Radio News.
Are you struggling with addiction or alcohol problems? If you're depressed, drinking, and using drugs, you may need help. And the Affordable Care Act guarantees coverage of substance abuse.
I knew I could get myself out of this. I just needed some hope and some help.
I took the first step to recovery when I made the call.
Call the Addiction Hope and Helpline now for a free assessment with someone who cares. Call 800-854-1055. 800-854-1055.
I feel like I'm losing control. I'm afraid I'll lose my job or even my family.
Call now for hope and help with proven, gentle recovery programs.
I never thought that I could be somebody who didn't drink and use drugs.
I'm in recovery, getting the help I need.
Call the Addiction Hope and Helpline now for a free assessment with someone who cares. Call 800-854-1055. 800-854-1055. 800-854-1055.
Warning, if you're drowning in debt you can't afford, do not let the credit card companies trick you into thinking that you have to pay it all back, because you don't. What the credit card companies don't want you to know is that there's actually a way to get debt-free without paying off your entire debt or going bankrupt. If you have $5,000 or more in credit card debt, you now have the right to let us settle that debt for a fraction of what you owe. For free information, call Credit Associates now. 1-800-959-5759. We'll even show you how much money you could save. If you can't afford to pay off all your debt, do not let the credit card companies trick you into thinking that you have to. Call Credit Associates now for free information on how to get debt-free faster than you ever thought possible without debt consolidation or bankruptcy. We depend on your success and offer a guarantee, so there's no risk. For free information, call now. 1-800-959-5759. That's 1-800-959-5759. 1-800-959-5759.
Right now, we have Sean Mullinex, and he is talking about his father's book. And this book, I think, is going to resonate with so many of you. I can't tell you how many stories I heard about this family when I moved to Dallas, Texas, and the impact they had on the wrestling world, particularly in the area, but I think just in general. So if you think of Fritz von Erich, I know some of you right now are thinking of that name. Master of the Iron Claw, that's the name of the title of Sean's father's book, and it talks about these stories that so many people don't know, and I love that when we can hear these stories that were untold or the whole story wasn't out there. So, Sean, first of all, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me, Kay.
So when we look at the story of Fritz, and you told me this off the air, how close was your father to Fritz?
Well, you know, he has an interesting backstory to this. He grew up in a small town in Texas and was a huge wrestling fan. He would always watch wrestling on Saturday nights. You know, back then there was only three channels, so it's not like he had a lot of options. And his favorite hero was Jack Atkinson, who was at that time had a name for himself as the German bad guy, Fritz von Erich. And, you know, later in life, he grew up and went to the Marine Corps and stuff like that. And as fate would have it, he ran into Kevin von Erich and was introduced to the family and just was enamored by actually having a relationship with Fritz himself. He ended up volunteering to help Fritz learn the computer because he wanted to track his stocks in real time. So he started volunteering his time with Fritz, and it was one of Fritz's dreams to finally have his story told. You know, Fritz was a pretty private person. He didn't allow a lot of media to get out on himself. And so, you know, Fritz wanted the story to be told in his own words, so to speak. And he asked my dad to, you know, write that book for him and, you know, to try to get the story out in Fritz's own words. He was able to take care of Fritz right up till he died of brain cancer in 97. And, you know, they had a very beautiful relationship.
You know, Sean, I love how you talk about that, that he took care of him, he got to know him, and Fritz was a private guy. I heard the same things. And for so many of you listening to this, and, you know, we talk about wrestling and now what the world knows about the personalities, et cetera, but Fritz von Erich and his five sons really had a definite impact on the wrestling world with their world-class championship wrestling. There's no doubt about that. Tell us a little bit about how they spread the word of wrestling and how they made it that much bigger, not just in Texas, but in other places in the country and in the world.
Well, you know, they definitely was worldwide known. When Fritz went to Japan and beat the giant Baba with the patented Iron Claw move, you know, that just really blew his career up. And then here locally to Texas, he had the Sportatorium there in Dallas. And, you know, he would have a lot of people come in and wrestle. And it was a big deal. It was on TV. And you know, everybody could just watch it. And the fans just loved it. Everyone, you know, loved wrestling at that time.
You know, he talks about this in the book. But what was it like in the old days for a wrestler? I think very different from today.
It definitely was, you know. I know the stories in the book about they would like to have a good match. So they would get out there, maybe the first round and kind of just toy with each other. And then, you know, basically once one got mad at each other, all of a sudden the fight was on, you know, and that's how wrestling was as Fritz described it back in those days. And, you know, it was a lot about entertaining the fan as well as demonstrating superior strength and, you know, ability over the opponents.
Yeah, and for you, I'm wondering, did you grow up with that same feeling, especially knowing the love your dad had for it?
Absolutely. You know, I always heard stories that he would tell me, and I was just enamored by it. And, you know, that was actually an interesting point on how the book came to be. You know, after Fritz passed away, I was finished with high school, and you know, my dad was a big influence on my life at that time, and he made me a promise that if I would go to college, he would start this story and put it into print. And, you know, so I got to watch that unfold. That's why when, you know, before he passed away, he kind of asked me to help fulfill his lifelong work and his legacy that he left me. And, you know, since then, I've just been trying to push it forward.
Yeah, and so we're so glad that you're here with us doing that, Sean. And we're speaking with Sean Mullinex, and the book that his father wrote is called Fritz von Erich, Master of the Iron Claw. So let's say somebody's listening, maybe two people, and they don't know about the Iron Claw. Tell us about the nickname, the Iron Claw.
Well, that was Fritz's patented move, and that was an interesting story how he created that. After one of his matches, he got kind of injured and couldn't really keep up his workout regimen. And he would created this particular exercise where he would stack books on his hand, like lay his hand on a table and stack books on it and lift them with his fingers. And that is what, you know, created him having such an awesome grip, you know, that was just phenomenal.
I know. I love that nickname. It's so good. Master of the Iron Claw. What was the family like? What do people not know about the Von Erichs?
Well, you know, they were definitely very private people. You know, they've been compared to the Kennedys because, you know, they had such fame and at the same time had such tragedy with loss of their sons. So, you know, the story is just really compelling on how they, you know, adapted and grew. I think the book does a good job of showing the world that they were just human too. And, you know, these losses really hurt them internally as well.
Oh, yeah, of course, just like anybody, and that family definitely had a lot of family tragedies, and that's why comparing them to the Kennedys in so many ways, I can see how your dad would have come to that realization. Was your dad had to be, how did your dad feel about pulling this work together? He had to feel excited, proud, happy, because he had such a love for Fritz.
Absolutely. You know, and that love more or less became an obsession. The first book he published was called The Secret of the Iron Claw. And it was his first work to ever be published. And it was a great book. The story was good. But he just wasn't happy with it. And he spent he just almost obsessed over it, of trying to make the story better and, you know, bridge together, edit it out, and make sure it makes better sense and stuff like that. So, you know, I found it really admirable, his obsession to getting this book out there in a way Fritz would really be happy.
You know, you talk, Sean, about Fritz's patented move, but he was known for some other things, too. He was definitely a showman, right?
Oh, absolutely. You know, he had quite an interesting career. Most people don't know that he played professional football, even. So he definitely understood how to entertain people. You know, when he would, I remember my dad telling the story of the first time he saw Fritz. You know, he played that German bad guy and came out in, you know, uniform and goose stepping and stuff like that. So he definitely knew how to play with the audience and really gain their attention.
Yeah, and talk about that. What did Fritz do before he became master of the Iron Claw?
You know, the one story I heard is that he was a bit of a bouncer, or you know, someone that would go collect money if you owed a debt to somebody. I thought that was a really funny story. But, yeah, he...
That is a funny story. Oh, he's a bouncer. I could see that. So when people and people listening pick up the book, Fritz von Erich, Master of the Iron Claw, Sean Mullinex is with us. His father, Ron, wrote the book. What do you think your father would want people to take away from the story?
You know, I believe that he would want everyone to know that this is the way Fritz wanted the story told. And it was, I believe it done a good job of telling the story through Fritz's words. And I've heard several people tell me how they can just almost hear Fritz's booming voice coming through the pages as they read them. So I definitely think that what we have now is very impressive. The picture on the front cover is actually a talking point. We picked that one. It was an old black and white that we had. We had to have it fully remastered. It is with Fritz and Gene Kaninsky, and Fritz is putting this iron claw on Gene Kaninsky's head. And to my knowledge, it's supposed to be one of the first pictures ever published in the newspapers and, you know, published in the media. So that's, you know, one of the reasons why we changed the cover and stuff like that. And I think my dad and Fritz would both be really happy with this.
Yeah, well, I love it. So Fritz von Erich, Master of the Iron Claw, Sean Mullinex is joining us, and his father, Ron, has written it. What does it mean for you to be able to talk about this and your dad?
You know, I really just find it a great honor to know the story and, you know, just to have a part of it. That's why after he passed, I just, you know, it was hard to work on for a little bit, but I just couldn't let it go. I just always remembered that obsession. And, you know, I just want to bring honor to Fritz and his family and, you know, just make the world aware of what a great and awesome person he was. And, you know, he was really a maven of his industry at that time and really changed the world of wrestling to what we see it today.
I love it. Pick up the book and get it on Amazon. Terrific stuff. Thank you so much, Sean, for joining us.
Thank you, Kay.
It's time to start drinking Tahibo tea. Tahibo tea comes from the inner bark of the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. The Tahibo tree never gets sick, never gets infected, and never gets infested. As a result, it contains antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. Tahibo tea can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening condition due to infection, diabetes, or cancer. Every week, someone calls in with the story of another miraculous recovery. Order your Tahibo tea now for only $34.95 per pound plus shipping. 1 pound makes 300 servings, which is only 12 cents per cup. Call today, 818-883-7222. Again, 818-883-7222, or buy online at drinksupertea.com. That's drinksupertea.com. All orders ship the same day. Call now, 818-883-7222, or buy online at drinksupertea.com.
By now you know that wireless technology like cell phones do in fact pose dangers to the health and privacy of everyone. Lockit Pocket's wide range of products are unmatched in providing the protection you deserve. No scare tactics, just common sense. LockitPocket.com offers quality American-made options to alleviate and eliminate these invisible dangers. Learn more at LockitPocket.com or call 888-315-9618. LockitPocket.com, enhancing health and privacy.
Pain in my neck, back, and shoulders has really gotten worse.
Relief for body pain is here with Sunny Bay Heating Pads.
Well, the last thing I want is to take another pill, so what's so good about Sunny Bay Heating Pads?
Sunny Bay Heating Pads, made by Biomed DB Design right here in the USA, come in all sizes. Our extra-large microwavable heating pad for back pain is designed to be large enough to cover your entire back. It's also perfect to wrap around your legs, knees, or shoulder and neck.
But I need to know they're good quality.
Of course. Sunny Bay heating pads and pillows are often an Amazon choice, and it's easy and most affordable when you purchase your Sunny Bay heating pads right from our website, sunshinepillows.com, or call us 253-678-1361.
Hey, a Sunny Bay heating pad
would make a great gift, right?
Yes, and they start at just $19.99, and free shipping is available. So call 253-678-1361 or shop for your Sunny Bay heating pad at sunshinepillows.com.
Join me, George Norrie, in Indian Wells, California, May 31st to June 3rd for the Contact in the Desert UFO Conference, an epic weekend of exploration into ancient aliens, human origins, crop circles, and UFO sightings. More than 100 lectures, panels, workshops, and events with leading experts like Giorgio Tsoukalos, David Wilcock, Linda Moulton Howe, Eric Von Doniken, Doc Wallach, and so many more. Get your tickets today at contactinthedesert.com. It's time to make contact. Contactinthedesert.com.
Continuing my slice of Ireland trip, which has just been absolutely amazing. Go to Ireland.com or, you know, check out the hashtag Fill Your Heart with Ireland, because I definitely have been doing that. And you all know my Irish roots. You know, if you don't, I'll say my name again. Kate, or really Catherine Shana Fitzgerald Delaney. So I'm here with Aidan Haughey, and he took us up on this incredible cliff area that is now starting to become a little bit known, and it's, how do you pronounce it again?
Sleeve League.
Sleeve League, and sleeve means mountain.
Yep.
And league means stone?
Flagstone.
Flagstone specifically. So how cool is that? You just learned an Irish word. So it's starting to be discovered more, and you've obviously seen it, lived around it. What does it mean to you to have more people traveling and looking at this gorgeous view?
That's good. That's helping support local jobs in the local community, and that's good for employment all around.
Yeah. And on the, what's different about this mountain is, first of all, isn't it the furthest most point where the next island you see is what?
New York would be the next village.
Wow. I like that. New York over the next village. That just putting that in our minds is wild. There's a couple of really neat things to talk about that are part of Sleeve League. And one of them is something that's carved into the mountainous area that was a signal to the British who were flying, if you think of World War II, right? And what is that? Tell us about that.
We've got some markings up here on the mountain. We've got ERA, E-I-R-E, written in stone across the mountain, and have been used by the pilots as a navigational aid as they're flying across the Atlantic from the States, heading into Northern Ireland. I showed them that this was the Republic, it was neutral, and safe to land if they had to. And then we've got all the headlands down the west coast, they're all numbered as well. This one is number 71. So when the pilot looked at his chart, he knows that this is Sleeve League and that Northern Ireland is straight ahead.
Yeah, and that would have been very important in those times.
It would. They had no Google Maps.
No. And then something just happened recently where there was a plane that crashed, and then there were people that survived, and then they ended up in the local pub. Tell us that story.
That would have been back during the Second World War. One of the planes actually crashed on a beach nearby, but both of the men flying the plane survived. They ended up in a pub, and they got away the next morning. They were safe enough.
Right, and those men aren't here any longer, but the memory of them and the story is living long. And that's why, because you know how the Irish are. The story comes to life where every day it's like, oh, didn't you know that just happened? Somebody just said that to me. And I'm like, what, a plane crash? So, yeah, it was a few years ago when that happened. But there have been other things, too, that have happened here. Like, for example, tell us the lore of the lighthouse. Because if you look at these cliffs, you'll see this one little section where way off in the distance there's a lighthouse. And there's a couple interesting things about it. One, that there's nobody manning the lighthouse.
No, it's a solar-powered lighthouse now at the minute. Lighthouses would have played a very important role in areas like this. All of the fishing boats coming and going to Killybegs would have been passing by this lighthouse.
Wow. And so the lighthouse hasn't been manned since when?
The lighthouse hasn't been manned now since 1974.
Wow, 1974. But then there was some kind of curse or something that was put on the lighthouse.
There was a man called St. Asicus. He was banished to the island. He was St. Patrick's first bishop. Got into a bit of trouble. He spent 7 years living on the island, praying and repenting. But the day he left the island, he put a curse on the island. He said that if the island was ever to become uninhabited, there would be three great tragedies around the island. So in 1974, the lighthouse keepers left, and the island became uninhabited. A couple of months later, a boat and all its crew were lost just behind the island. Another couple of months, another boat and all its crew. And about a year after that, the third boat was lost just around the corner. But there were two survivors from it. We still have one of them living locally here.
Wow. And that does make you think, doesn't it?
Yeah. Yeah.
Definitely. What do you like best about the cliffs?
I like it. It's changing all the time. The colours change every month, and it's always nice. It's a different view every day. The weather's changing. It's always different.
And I mentioned, you know, for people who are listening, I would put this on my list. I would put the west coast of Ireland and go all the way up the Wild Atlantic Way. So it is getting more known. Not that people didn't go up there before, but more people are starting to do it. And you're trying to attract tourists to let you know what you have here. So you even have a center that people can come to and have lunch or coffee or anything on the way up.
Yeah, and with the introduction of the Wild Atlantic Way back a couple of years ago, definitely helped. And it's a great tool for putting places like this on the map. People are coming, they're looking for more experiences off the
beaten
well
path.
Known, off the beaten track.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And of course, there's sheep. You can hear them. Maybe you can hear them. I can hear them all over the place. But it's not bothering me. I think it's really cool and really authentic. So this is a big sheep herder area, too?
This will be a big farming area.
Yeah.
A lot of the houses around here, there'll be a farmer. The farms might be a bit small. They might have between 50 and 80 sheep each, but they're farming away nonetheless. Their lambs are starting to be born now these weeks.
So how does that work with the female sheep and the male who has his pick of the litter? Everyone, we saw a ram who was just basking on a rock, and there were just female sheep everywhere.
The rams have a nice time of it, yes. They tend to meet up with the females once every year. There tend to be one ram to every maybe 30 females.
Ah, oh,
yeah.
Are you kidding?
Yeah.
That's not Irish folklore? Or
No.
No blarney?
No.
And then how does that work? So the female sheep, aren't they moved? Because they're marked and everything.
Yeah. the males just tend to meet up around October, November time. But the male always hasn't got it great, because all of the young males that are born, they go to the factory for lamb. But the females, of course, they're kept and they're used for breeding, or they're sold on to other farmers.
All right, so they do survive. That's one aspect. You told me something else that was, I thought, so interesting about this area as far as scuba diving and whales and dolphins. And I used to live in Morro Bay, California, and that area was kind of a hidden gem and known for that. And it reminded me of that. And the water is like, what, 60 feet deep in some areas?
60 feet deep at the foot of the cliffs here, but it'll be getting deeper this year.
So what can you see at certain times of the day? What will we see out here?
Oh, you'd see the whales and dolphins, and you'd see basking sharks. You'd see tuna playing as well, and all the seabirds as well.
Wow. And there has to be big fishing here.
Fishing, not so big. There is some angling here. There's some charter boats doing angling. But in the line of commercial fishing, no, most of the small commercial fishermen are gone.
They're gone. But as far as, like, you mentioned the tuna, I mean, that I just had a sandwich, I'm sure, that was local.
That's a big attraction, yes, the tuna fishing. Now, at the minute, you're not allowed to go out and fish for tuna, but if you catch one by accident, it's okay. But there's a lot of boats out fishing for the tuna.
Other people that would come up here, and I noticed there were a lot of people hiking. Is it a big hiking spot? Because you can really go up these cliffs.
It's a massive attraction for hikers. In 2011, we were designated as the beginning of the European leg of the International Appalachian Trail. So that attracts a lot of walkers.
Wait a second. Appalachian Trail is back in the States. So now we're hopping the pond.
Today you're on the International Appalachian Trail.
All right, the International Appalachian Trail. I love that. The town is interesting, too. How many people live in this area? I mean, close to the cliffs has got to be kind of sparse. It looked that way to me.
It is. There's probably about 140 people living in the town here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you're one of those 140 people?
I am, yeah.
Wow. So you know everyone. Is everyone named John and Patrick and
more
Mary
Paddy's,
and
more
Kate?
More Paddy's and John's, yeah.
But that's great. There is something about knowing everyone. They knew you from the time you were a small lad, right?
You know everyone, and everyone knows you, and everyone knows your business, too.
So you, for example, and we want to say this, if people want to come here, they can hire you to take them up to the cliffs. Why don't you tell us where they need to go? What's your website?
You can visit us on sleepingcougars.com. Email us, call us, whatever you wish.
All right. Have you taken a lot of Americans up?
Our main body of customers would be Americans.
But we were your favorite Americans, your journalists.
Definitely, right? The favorite, yeah.
And we should say Aiden's done so well, but this is just your, what, third interview?
It's my third interview. All of them in the last 15 minutes.
I like that, in the last 15 minutes. What is your, if somebody wanted to come to Ireland, I mean, I could talk all night long, and I do, but what is your favorite thing about your hometown and about the country of Ireland?
It's a nice place. The people are very welcome, and everyone's glad to see you coming, and they all try and do their best for you. Yeah.
It's not the music, it's not the pubs, it's not the women,
the men. Music and pubs and the women are there too, but I suppose the warm welcome is our main thing, yeah.
All right, thank you very much, you did an excellent job.
It's time to join the Tahibo Tea Club. Tahibo Tea comes from the inner bark of the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. The Tahibo tree never gets sick, never gets infected, and never gets infested. As a result, it contains antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. Tahibo Tea can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening condition due to infection, diabetes, or cancer. Tahibo Tea is available for only $34.95 per pound plus shipping. 1 pound makes 300 servings, which is only 12 cents per cup. Dial 818-883-7222 or buy online at drinksupertea.com. All orders ship immediately the same day. Call now, 818-883-7222. That number again, 818-883-7222 or buy online at drinksupertea.com.